Welcome to today's edition of the Rush 24/7 podcast.
And let me welcome you and thank you for having me on Rush's program. We're going to get to the news, and I also want to say something about the phones, 800-282-2882. We would love today to talk to local elected officials to know how you are handling this in your community. We'll take all your calls. We want to talk to everybody, but we'd love to hear across the nation the different way this is being handled, the coronavirus, the Wuhan flu, in your community and what you're doing. Also, I'd love to hear from police officers in hot zone cities like New York City, Los Angeles. Again, we'll talk to you all. We'd love to talk to the EIB audience at 800-282-2882. But let us know if you're in one of those positions when you call. And we are going to get to the news. I want to say something about Maharishi real quick. I was talking to Team EIB today, and they are keeping the Maha away from the microphone because they want him to heal, right? His treatments, these are tough. And Rush Limbaugh is tough. And I was talking to some of the people on the team. They're saying, look, he wants to come in. We're encouraging him to just heal. One of the things you can do, and we've seen this on Twitter, we've seen this on social media, both Nerdly and I've seen it on our Twitter accounts. I love to see you guys saying, hey, Rush, just take care of yourself. And one thing you can do, go to rushlimbaugh.com, the upper left-hand corner of that page. Let Rush know. Right? You want him to heal, you're going to be here because I just know he misses you, and I think probably just as much, if not more, than you miss him. Man, this is going to be an amazing thing to watch. Nancy Pelosi has caved. And we're going to talk about the details of the stimulus plan, so-called, and how we're going to pay for that eventually. I hope that the president in his second term, because he's going to get reelected, I hope that President Trump in his second term goes full-on CEO and CFO all over federal spending. I hope he makes decreasing the debt an obsession, the legacy that he would have for doing that. But more than that, what he would do for the country. But let's talk about this. I don't know that another Republican president would have caused Pelosi to fold. Because one of the things that the liberals do that they are so good at, so good at, is the heads they win, tails we lose circumstance. So they present this insane shopping list of social Marxism and cultural Marxism and intersectional wants and needs and gifts to their friends, like the $35 million to the Kennedy Center. Donald Trump Jr. called out Jerry Nadler for wanting to save the Picassos versus save the American workers, and Nadler went nuts. So they present this wish list, and here's the way the heads they win, tails we lose circumstance normally works. They present a wish list of insanity, of cultural Marxism, of payoffs, of bribes. And this is what they set up. You either give us what we want and we get that, or you delay the bill and the media will blame you for delaying the bill. And that's the heads they win, tails we lose circumstance. And it's not working. It's not working. And you see the reverse, in fact, that the president's ratings are higher on this than the media. And we're going to talk about that. Donald John Trump may be the guy who, in fact, folds, breaks the lapdog media, and may even force them to have some balance in their coverage, might even accomplish that, which would be phenomenal. What's in this bill? Well, let's start with what's not in it. What's not in it are Nancy Pelosi's payoffs to unions. What's not in it is a retirement plan for journalists at local papers. What's not in it is transferring the debt from the United States Postal Service to the U.S. Treasury, which would mean printing money to pay for that. What's not in it is forcing airlines to calculate the carbon footprint of individual flights, which is an impossibility since individual flights face all sorts of variables like headwinds and how many people are on the airplane can't be done. What's not in it is paying off student loan debt that has nothing to do with the Wuhan flu. What's not in it is a nearly $10 billion payoff to big universities who overcharge these students for things, for classes that are not delivering on the return on investment, that are still taking federal tax dollars. And in fact, if you look at the private universities, if you look at the big private universities who constantly virtue signal on this stuff, they could take their endowments, the money that they have saved, the gifts from their alumnus and et cetera, they could take that and operate just off of the earned interest, and they could give everybody free college off of the earned interest. Now, imagine that. Their deposited money would never go down. But they were going to get a $10 billion bailout. That's not in this. As I understand it, what's not in it at this point is the election meddling provisions, the same-day voter registration, the ballot harvesting, online voter registration. All of this, in my judgment, Cloward Piven. This is a political theory. Frances Fox Piven was and her partner, they were both leftist professors. Frances Fox Piven was the architect of motor voter. Flood the voting system, flood it with people, and it makes it harder and harder and harder to make sure that only citizens are voting. That was one of their goals. They wanted to take down the West in America. They wrote that. That's what they wanted to do. And she went to, I think it was in the Rose Garden, I know it was a signing ceremony with Bill Clinton, President Clinton. That's not in it as I understand it. So Mitch McConnell is behind the podium right now saying this was delayed for 3 days. So what's in it? Well, it's about $2 trillion. And yes, we need to talk about how we're going to pay for this. And I am just hoping so much that President Trump in this second term brings in the just most savage bean counter, just the most obsessed accountant to look through every aspect of the federal government, because the waste is monumental. 10% of Medicare's budget goes into waste. Incidentally, just saw a tweet. I'm going to look into this to make sure this is accurate. Apparently, the VA system, their computer system is down. And I understand, and I'd love to get confirmation on this, that they can't see patients right now. But man, you bring that single payer, this solves everything. So the bailouts, as it's being called, or the stimulus, $367 billion for small businesses, understand that's loans, allows them to keep making payroll while the Wuhan flu is, and the prohibitions against business is in place. Because really, that's what this is about. This is about actions of government limiting the actions of businesses. So it's far different from the bank bailout. There is a $500 billion loan guaranteed subsidized loans for bigger businesses. And I understand this is being negotiated. But this piece thrills me to death. The president wants to be able to participate in the upside of these companies. So if our money doesn't just bail them out, but turns their stock around, the president wants to be able to participate in those gains. Now, that has to be done enormously carefully, enormously, because they buy this much money in these companies. If they were to sell that stock all at once, you could dump the value of the companies, right? Or the value of their stock. It can't do that. But I love that he's not taking the sucker position. He's taking the smart position, and he's open to having equity in these companies. I don't think he's decided to do that, but he's open to it. There's a $150 billion fund for our state and local fund, $130 billion for hospitals. I'd love to understand the structure of that. Are we loaning monies to hospitals, or are we giving monies to hospitals? There's a $1,200 and $2,400 based income checks to Americans that would arrive to them direct to payments to Americans who are affected in their jobs by the Wuhan flu. And I think this is structured weekly. Yeah, $600 per week through the unemployment benefits that Americans have. So people who would make more money in their jobs and have higher expenses get maybe a little bit more money, right? But temporarily. Now, the president continues to signal that he intends to reopen the economy. He says he wants to do that by Easter. And, of course, the media is coloring this as a decision he's making to trade lives for the economy. This can be done wisely. And, in fact, this morning, I saw an ad on Fox News. I was prepping for the show on FoxNews.com. I saw an ad that's from coronavirus.gov, and they are describing the people most at risk for the Wuhan flu. They're giving good descriptions and telling people, if you are 60 plus and you have these comorbid conditions, you must stay out of the way. you must quarantine. You cannot be in contact with people. And then telling younger people, you cannot, if you are in public, you cannot have contact with people who meet these descriptions. This can be done carefully. We are good enough. We are smart enough. We've got a good enough communication skills and communication mediums that we can flood the world of broadcasting, of social media, of advertising enough to tell people that you have to stay out of the way of this. And in that way, allow us to build herd immunity, which we talked about yesterday on the show, which means a whole bunch of people who are immune to the disease, which makes it harder for the disease to spread. Right. Once you've been exposed, you develop an immunity to this, and the disease has fewer places to live. We had a doctor call yesterday and confirmed that the president is walking a razor's edge. Pray for wisdom. Pray for courage. Although I don't think we need to pray for courage for President Trump. I mean, he's shown incredible courage in this. The fact is, I don't know that the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, would have been forced to fold with another Republican president. I don't know. It's Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB network. Welcome back to the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. It is an incredible honor to be able to do this with the team EIB while Rush is taking care of Rush. I'm so amazed at the notes on Twitter to Bo Snerdly telling Rush to stay home, take care of himself, that you guys are going to be there. We're all going to be there for the Maha. None of us are going anywhere. We just can't wait to have him back, but we want him to make sure he takes care of himself. You are watching. So this is worth the price of admission for everything for me. It is. It's worth the time I spent in D.C. as chief of digital strategist, the RNC. When I got there and I was just begging the people at the RNC to take on the media, there were a lot of people saying, no, wrong target. We take on the Democrats. We need the media. We don't take them on. Finally, one of our chiefs of staff, Ken, decided to actually do something to take on ABC News, who was so biased against Republicans that we did something in terms of a pushback on the media that then transferred into a fundraiser, and it was phenomenal. But their instincts at the time were so bizarre. They were. There was an instance where Katie Couric had tweeted something out. It was a Runner's Magazine photo of Sarah Palin, and she was wearing tight clothes because she was running. You want to have less air resistance when you run. That's what you do. And Katie Couric sort of suggested that Sarah Palin was tarting it up, so to speak. You know, looking prostitutional. Is she suggested this? Someone sent me a picture of Katie Couric drunk dancing. I mean, legitimately, it looked like she was drunk dancing. She looked very, very drunk. And to me, it looked very sexual. Well, normally, it's your business. I wouldn't tweet that, but she'd done this to Sarah Palin. So I tweeted that out, and I had one of the communications people come to me and say, please take that down. Katie called. She's really hurt. She's really hurt. You know, maybe you could call her. What? No, I will take that down if she apologizes for the Sarah Palin piece, but I'm not taking it down otherwise. You're watching something. You're watching a president beat a biased media. The president's approval ratings are above the media's in terms of the Wuhan flu. Governors are getting the highest rating. This comes from a Monmouth poll. Governors, 72% positive, 18% negative. Federal health agencies, 65-24. President Donald Trump, 50% positive, 45% negative, in the face of abuse and bias from this media that the likes of which in 50-some years I've never seen. In 40-some years, as someone who pays attention to the media, I've never seen. Then there's Congress, 42% negative, or positive, 30% negative. The media, it's equal, 45% positive and 43% negative. The people are giving themselves the lowest ratings, giving the American public a 38% positive rating. The president may, in fact, beat this. Well, he's beating them now. But there could be a fundamental change from this. There has to be some point. There have to be shareholders of the big media companies. There has to be coming to them and saying, we can't continue to bankroll you. We can't. Because it's getting absurd. KUOW, where I am broadcasting from. I'm right now in KTTH's studios, KTTH.com. I do a morning show here 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Just up the street, there's a taxpayer-funded entity that's KUOW. They're not going to air the president's speeches anymore because they don't want to. Folks, I know friends. I have friends who've gone to work there. They'll have a one-host program with eight producers. Eight. This is the biggest radio show in the world, and there's about four people working on it right now, and they're all brilliant. The biggest radio show on earth, and in the studio is about four people. A total overall, I don't know the staffing, but the people I've met, seven or eight, the biggest radio show in history, which, by the way, is profitable. KUOW will not air the speeches of the President of the United States. It is phenomenal. And you know why? Because they want people panicked. And I think Rush sort of warned us about this in a way. I think that Rush told us that, you know what, there's reason to be optimistic about this. And Rush has always been a voice for optimism. So remember, when most people, even older people, they fully recover from this, like this ditto head who Rush saw interviewed on Fox.
Fox News Channel, Fox and Friends. Ainsley Earhart, they had a segment with a recovered coronavirus patient by the name of Jerry Jorgensen. And Jerry Jorgensen is 65 and she's recovered from the coronavirus. Really? Yes. And not only that, they featured a photo of her on a cruise ship and she's wearing a Betsy Ross, Stand Up for Betsy Ross t-shirt. She's from the EIB universe. Here is the audio soundbite. Jerry Jorgensen on here with Ainsley Earhart, who says, we're hearing it 80% of the cases are mild to moderate. Tell us about your case. What was it like to have coronavirus?
I had a slight fever the night before they took me off the cruise ship, very slight. It wasn't even 100 degrees. And felt a little bit off for about 2 or 3 hours, and that was my only symptom throughout the whole time, the whole quarantine up to now. It wasn't a big deal to me at all. I'm 65. My husband, he's younger than I am, but he's on anti-rejection drugs. He's had two kidney transplants, and he has not had any symptoms. The hysteria has just gotten out of control. Choose every day to stay positive. It's so much in our attitude.
Jerry Jorgensen, 65, had the disease for 3 hours. Got over it, no big deal. And they had a picture of her on the cruise that she showed, and she's wearing a Stand Up for Betsy Ross t-shirt. That's why we noticed it, in addition to the substance of what she said.
Oh, the reach of this program. She happens to be wearing a Rush Limbaugh supporting t-shirt. Incredible! And the media could go tell these stories. And I'm telling you, if this was a Democrat president, we would see all sorts of stories of recovery. And then there's this, and this is a backbreaking moment if we will help amplify this. The media was claiming that a man died from ingesting the medicine that the president had suggested, has been talking about what is, in fact, legitimately true. It's helping a lot of people. The president of the United States did not tell anybody to eat aquarium cleaner. The element this guy ate is not, in fact, or ingested, is not, in fact, the medicine that the president has been talking about, the effectiveness thereof. Amplify these things. This president may break the back of this media and force them to finally have some balance. 800-282-2882. If you want to be in the program, Todd Herman filling in for the great Rush Limbaugh. I just had just a kind of funny image. The Maha Rushi El Rushbo continues to recover from his treatments, and the team IB has been very clear, like, Rush, you stay home, recover. He can't wait to talk to you. I just have this image of Pelosi and the Democrats just tuning in every day, right? We continue to hope Rush will be back. We're hoping Rush will be back tomorrow. They're just panicked. For what? Rush comes back because he's going to have so much to say and so much to deliver. I tell you, you're watching something. We talked about the media and the president. I truly believe that their backs may be broken at this point. Their ratings are lower than the president's by a margin in the handling of this. Someone on Twitter said it's not Monmouth polls, it's Mythmouth polls. Love that. But you know what else you're seeing? Watch the desire to rule, the desire to control versus the desire to help. Watch it. Look at it. Look at the Democrats and what they tried to shove into these bills, this relief bill, all of it about control, all of it about power, none of it about financial wisdom, none of it about like the president looking at, hey, we're going to cap the salaries. We're going to cap the salaries of companies, big companies who take this relief, these loans, or equity, however the president decides to do that, maybe equity, meaning we get value when the company's stock go back up. Compare that to, hey, let's control the American people with everything. Ilhan Omar, who in all likelihood did in fact marry her brother, there's someone from the Somali community living in fear because he said, yeah, this happened. He's living in fear for his life because he pointed this out. She probably committed, you know, immigration fraud, etc. She's saying we need $1 trillion to build affordable housing. We need to seize the private hospitals. We need to do that now. The desire to control. Look at this in Los Angeles. I'd love to talk to someone on the LAPD. Love to talk to local elected officials today. What you're handling at 800-282-2882, how you're handling this. Los Angeles, they're shutting down the gun stores. Now, they're saying, okay, they're not, these are not necessities. I don't know. To me, firearms can be a necessity, particularly in how Los Angeles appears to be handling this. But pot stores, those are a necessity. Compare the desire to control versus the desire to help. And compare this. In Venezuela, this is getting no coverage. Venezuela. 6 million people have fled that country. 6 million adults. 6.5 million have fled. And this is from the stream.org. They've left behind their kids. They fled to try to find some sustenance. They've left their kids behind in the wake of the Wuhan flu. And that was a desire to control in Venezuela versus a desire to help. Do you see the comparison? Now you have this. And I guess I'll mention this again because they're just up the street from me. KUOW in Seattle is a taxpayer-supported radio station that pretends to not run ads, although every segment they run is underwritten by somebody. They have shows that literally have one host doing a 1 hour show, and they have four or five people working on the shows. I have friends who've gone to work there, and they said, "Oh my God, this is the easiest thing in the world! My goodness, I'm one person. I have four people doing my show prep and things for me." I tell you, I do a local radio show. I have one producer. Right. We do 3 hours of live radio every day in Seattle. One producer. And we have to, of course, make money. This program has a smaller ratio of producers, far smaller than this KUW. This program is the most successful profit wise and audience wise in history. It's phenomenal. So the media wants to control. They're not going to air. KUW is not going to air the president's speeches anymore. Taxpayer supported entity will not air the president's speeches anymore. Let's talk to Peter in Denver, Colorado. Peter, I'm really happy you called. Welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Peter.
Todd, how you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Thanks for calling. Love Denver. Beautiful city.
Yeah, it is. I just wanted to tell you what the network. So, you know, I watched the president's news conferences on the networks, you know, CBS, NBC, ABC, and I noticed the last 2 days here, they'll cover the conference, and, you know, the doctors will talk, and the vice president will talk, and as soon as Trump starts doing a question and answer, they say, "And now back to regularly scheduled programming." I mean, they don't even want you to see what he has to say, and I want to see what he has to say, so I turn the radio on.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, and you know what?
They'll come on, make a little snide comment, and go back to regularly scheduled programming.
You know, Peter, what that's like, it would be like the NFL Network doing the pregame, and then the game starts. Okay, we're going to cut away now to a special look back at the career of Roger Staubach or something. I mean, it's not even going to air this. Oh, it's phenomenal. The desire to control. I appreciate you calling from my high city. Thank you very much, Peter. That's great. Let's talk to James in Reno, Nevada. Wow, just up the street from Denver, Colorado. Another beautiful city. James, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Good morning, Todd, and mega prayers out to Rush. My comment is, I have heard that there is same-day voting and vote by mail as well as same-day registration that in the latest bill that was being put out by Nancy Pelosi. I'm not sure if this is in the Senate bill also. My concern, because I work with cybersecurity and also electronic voting, is anything that does not involve a paper trail and in some type of in-person identification is ramped for fraud. My basic concern is that this stimulus bill has provisions in it, or may, that could allow a group to steal the 2020 election.
Yeah, and people pretend interchangeably. Sometimes Barack Obama said that the election could not be tampered with, and then there was the fiction that Russia tampered with the election, and then they said it could be tampered with. Your concern is a good one. My understanding is that's been cut out of the bill, sliced out of the bill, because the president said, I'm not signing this junk. So let's keep a close eye on that. I asked our Secretary of State in our state, in Washington, Kim Wyman, I said, I want a receipt for my vote. I want to see how it was counted. And if I have a dispute, I want to be able to get my ballot, look at my ballot, and see how I prove how I voted. But she says it can't be done. It's too hard. Great call. I appreciate it, James. Thanks very much. Speaking of the radio coverage and the media coverage, the president is beating the media. KUOW. Someone just tweeted to me, "Hey Herman, since you're in Seattle, why don't you invite someone from KUOW on Rush's show to see if they could defend this decision to not air the president's speeches?" Well, I'll tell you why. It would go like this. Well, consideration of multiple points of view, we have made the determination, following the line of thinking of the great Spanish philosopher Romisio Ramirez, that we will err.
Get on! And that's, you know, one of my jobs is to keep the seat warm for El Rushbo and to try to deliver a program that is passable. They couldn't do that. They couldn't come on because there's no taxpayer support. They'd have to be actually interesting, right? And those, it takes three of us, me, Mark Stein, and Ken Matthews, to even get even 10% of what Rush does. Donna in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. You're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Good morning, Donna. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Todd.
Yes, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. I am from a small town in Pennsylvania, Bloomsburg, which has a really good fair, by the way, is doing this thing. Somebody got a great idea, and they call it Bloomsburg Worldwide Porch Musical. And what they do is they get all the local radio stations to play the same songs at the same time on a Friday night. Everybody opens their doors, opens their windows, gets on their porch, dances, and sings along.
Yes.
And it's got thousands of followers doing this.
Oh.
How cool is that?
Oh, I'm picturing it. I've got to find video of this. That is phenomenal.
Isn't it, though? Yes, we can all join together and we can enjoy each other even though it's at a distance.
It's just beautiful. I mean, the way people deal with this. See, this. Someone said the other day, we had a caller say, the quilt from Texas, the quilt of America is strong. The quilt of America is also beautiful. Donna, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate you calling Rush's show. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh. Just got this tweet. That's a private message. Todd, KUOW, this is a radio station in Seattle that is refusing to air the speeches of the President of the United States. It's a taxpayer-supported entity. It is overstaffed remarkably. KUOW generates about $18 million bucks per year, barely breaks even. It's from those crazy expenditures like the one you mentioned. I've actually applied for their equivalent of a sales manager, and there's some strange folks. I've friends who work there, and they're just stunned. Like, I don't do anything. I mean, the show preps, everything's done. I just walk in, and I'm programmed to speak. There is so much that the media doesn't want to tell us, and one of the things that they don't want to tell us is some of the data we're missing. And new writer, as far as I know, new Nero, Legal Insurrection, points out one of the things that we don't know, or some of the things we don't know, he's asking epidemiologists, is missing some important numbers for the Wuhan flu. The all-important case fatality rate of this disease, we have to know the number of people infected, so we don't know that yet. It might be, and we'll get into this later in the show, it might be that this disease is less deadly than we've been led to believe, that it peaks more quickly than we've been led to believe. Unless we test the entire population, we're not going to know this. Again, this is from New Nero. But then they point out this, and this is so important. They say, well, we know how many people have died from COVID-19, or do we?
and points out that Professor Ricciardi in Italy says, on reevaluation by the National Institute of Health, only 12% of death certificates have shown a direct causality from coronavirus, while 88% of patients who've died had at least one premorbidity. Many had two or three, meaning they were already quite ill. But those, but it was recorded initially as deaths from the Wuhan flu. Now, that likely precipitated that. But you know what? Pneumonia could have precipitated that. Another flu could have precipitated that. And a bacterial infection may have precipitated that as well, right? Because these people were that sick. And the media, they could point these things out. They could ask these questions. And it would be fascinating investigative work. But then, oh, the narrative. I mean, why go do investigations and investigative work if it's going to crack the narrative? And please don't tell me there's not a crafted narrative in the media. Do you remember when Russia was falling apart, the Russia hoax? Do you remember the piece that came out? New York Times staffers leaked this. The New York Times had said, we're going to pivot to racism. Our new narrative is going to be everything is racist. And, I mean, this was from the top, as I recall. Hey, you guys, Russia thing has proven to be there's no there. So let's go back to racism. Let's go right about the president being racist. But they could share this good news. They could. But why do that? Because the narrative. Frank, San Jose, California, the heart of Silicon Valley. Welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Frank.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. Yes. My understanding is it's the governors who've shut down the economy. And specifically, only Gavin Newsom can allow us to go back to work. Do you think he will do that in 2 weeks or whenever? Or do you think he's going to politicize this and drag this on as long as he can for political reasons?
Well, I 2 weeks ago, I would have said he'll completely politicize it. Eventually, he will. He will. He did praise the president. He did. Gavin Newsom did, which is really surprising. And sincere thanks for Gavin Newsom for at that point manning up and thanking the president of the United States. Secondly, the president is dispatching a ship, a hospital ship, off the coast of California, not to Washington, where Jay Inslee, who the president correctly called a snake, wanted it. So I think that you know, Gavin Newsom has seen that. Eventually, he's going to politicize this, because they all will. But to your point about going back to work, he's going to have to. He's going to have to at some point, because people, Frank, how long, let me ask this question, how long do you think Californians will stay locked in their homes, earning no money, getting government checks, being told they can't have their guns, they can't go out, etc.? You tell me, how long do you think Californians put up with that?
I think for 2 more weeks, and that's about it. And then we want to go back to work. For
well,
sure.
Yeah, because you look at where you live, San Jose, and I used to spend a fair bit of time down on Sand Hill Road raising money from the venture capital community. If you look at where you live, you know, there's parts of San Jose that are very nice, beautiful homes, and just across the street, there's people who are making their way in life, right? That there is some real poverty, there's some gang issues, people starting out, people who've had hard breaks, or people who are making poor financial decisions. You live in a community that, how long do you think those people can last without their work, of people who are making their way in life, right next door to people who, in all fairness, you could sit it out for a little bit. How long do you think it takes before that erupts?
Not too long. We're on a short fuse out here, I think. Everybody I know, and they're mostly Democrats, I'm not one of them, everybody I know wants to go back to work, and more people are thinking this is being overplayed. Which I think is too. I think the regular flu is a lot more dangerous than this.
Yeah, I'm not ready to make that judgment that the regular flu is more dangerous, only because we don't have a therapeutic for this, a cure. But I am with you that I believe this is being overblown. I also believe that we're not looking at the third wave. There's a professor just up the street from you at Stanford University with all sorts of documented expertise in this stuff who points out they're making decisions to close the economy based on almost no data or, you know, catastrophically low data. He's predicting that the economic shutdown will be worse than the disease itself. We've quoted from in this program. Hey, Frank, I appreciate you calling Rush's show. Stay healthy. I hope you get back to work. I hope America gets back to work. And I hope we do this in a smart way. Again, the commonalities in all these papers, these medical papers, are there are three patient populations, two of them at the highest risk, they can be coached and cajoled and kept, you know, told to stay away from folks who may have had contact with the disease. Then there's the rest of us. We can build a herd immunity. I'm no doctor, no epidemiologist, but now I've read so much about that and talked to doctors, to epidemiologists. That gives the disease fewer places to live. There are options, in other words. And I know the president is looking at that, walking that razor's edge. It's an act of leadership and bravery. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. 800-282-2882 if you want to be in the program. Love to talk to local government people, officials. If you make it through on the phones, tell us you're with local government. We just want to get from you a tap on how you're dealing with this in your community, because I think other communities, different communities are dealing with this differently. Did you remember in the campaign when Mike Bloomberg said, I'm going to keep these people, I can't imitate Bloomberg, I'm not short enough, but I'm going to keep these people employed through November. Even if I don't win, I'm going to keep them employed. Whoops. Nope. He's not gonna. He fired them, let them all go. But then he turned around and gave, I think, $18 million to the Democrat National Committee, which through a loophole he can do, and he did that. Then now they're suing him, and then there's this. I would pay a lot of money to find the starving college student who gave Lizzie Warren three of her remaining $6, because Lizzie Warren has transferred a whole bunch of money to the DNC. A, I don't think that person ever existed. But B, wouldn't it be fun to follow up with Liz Warren? Hey, did you give her those $3 back since your election efforts predictably failed? It's Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh.